1828, is the petition of Mark Gunderson and Michelle Gunderson, Wellcome Trust, owner of record, Mark Gunderson and Michelle Gunderson trustees, Wonder Lake Solar LLC, leasee, Geronimo Energy LLC, stockholder of the leasee. And it's a request for a conditional use permit to allow a solar farm. Kim, you said there was other evidence?
Yeah, so there was some questions that the board asked of the petitioner that they said that they would look into and come back with those responses, so they've prepared that. They've also prepared a sightline study of what that intersection, at least from their renderings of what it could potentially look like and possibly what it could change to if they revise some items in their site plan. So I'll pass it, I guess, chairman can pass it on to the petitioner to go over those specific items.
Who's going to be testifying? Okay, and then you remember you're still under oath?
I remember.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, so actually.
Do you need to identify yourself in the court reporter?
Yes, my name's Robert Leah. Actually, there were a number of sort of follow-up items, and so we assembled them in this.
Thank you.
The first one was with respect to the safety of the intersection. We've not been able to ascertain the cause for concern with respect to the distractibility of the project. The project's going to be screened, doesn't make any noise, there's no traffic. So we've not been able to really pin down what the concern is around distractibility. We can absolutely understand the concern around line of sight. So we had two studies done. This is the first one. Exhibit 1A shows the sightlines as we have proposed the project to date. In that configuration of fence and visual screen, you can see while you're sitting at the corner of O'Brien Road going eastbound and looking north, you have a line of sight approximately just over 1,000 feet. See, if you guys, let me know if you can't see where that's shown. And did I get enough? It should be 10.
We're good.
So for that speed and that that distance, it's our belief that we meet all the requirements for the distance needed to be able to see a car coming and avoid that. In an attempt to try to be an abundance of caution, we commissioned another study where, I'll pass this one around, make sure I get the number. So we commissioned another study where we pulled the fence and the screening back as far as we could, further from the right-of-way than it currently was shown. And that bought us almost another 200 feet, so now it's at 1186.
Wait, you got a copy that could go to the public so they can look at this?
I brought 10, so if there.
There's just one extra, or maybe two extra of these.
It's.
Oh, the book 1A is there, correct?
Oh, no, it should be 1A and 1B.
1A and 1B. Oh, you have, here.
I have two 1Bs.
Here.
That's our problem.
Oh, wait.
Keep your hands off my favor here.
These are both Bs.
Okay.
Yeah, these are both Bs.
Okay, I've got.
He's supposed to take two.
I have.
What do you need?
Here's an A.
I don't know what happened, I got one of each.
Do you need an A or a B?
I have both now, but is B, so is B the amended site plan then?
B is the amended.
That's with the change in the fence.
That's with pulling the fence back. And the intent would be to pull it back and not change anything else with respect to the requirements you folks have requested. Distance from the panels, you know, is the main consideration there.
And that site distance is center line to center line?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Do you have other?
So So yeah, as long as if there's no other questions, that is a small, that is not a difficult change in our word, in our world. But we have not also gotten any guidance, and if, we would love some guidance if as to what's sufficient or what you believe is the right. We believe the original one is more than sufficient, but we're happy to give additional.
I can't tell the difference. What's the difference?
175 feet.
North side.
More look, at the, look at the, the angular lines. One is longer than the other one. B is longer than the one on A.
I know, but what is it? Great 20 feet.
One is 1,000, just over 1,000 feet. The other one is 1,186.
186 feet, roughly.
Yeah. So I have a question, and that is about the dogwood hedge that's going to go in the screening. Is that going to be up against the fence then, as close
right.
as possible?
Yes, that's what they.
Okay. Because if it's around the perimeter of the lot, then that kind of doesn't matter where you put these
the,
lines.
The line's drawn accounting for the using the dogwoods.
Okay.
Right.
So that's right up against the fence then?
Right.
Okay, thanks.
If I'm reading this correctly, the red area would be, it looks like that's the planting.
Yes.
And it looks like I see a line in the fence
on
the
inside
back of it.
Right.
Oh, that's letters.
There was a question, so that's with respect to sight lines and there's no more questions.
Mm-hmm.
There was a question with respect to the depth of piles and the fence posts. A typical depth for those things are in the range of 9 to 12 feet for the piles, and then a range of 4 to 6 feet for the fencing. So just to clarify. We've with respect to drain tiles, the landowner is not familiar with any drain tiles on the property. We've been told a drain tile along the roadway. We've not been able to find that on any maps in our research, but it is supposed to be along the highway and out of our development area, so we don't believe that's a concern. Regardless, before construction, we will do a survey looking for drain tiles, and there's technologies that will allow us to do that, and so that that's our commitment to make sure we miss them. If we break one along the way, or one appears to have been broken with a tile that we didn't notice before. It depends on the depth of the tile. It depends on the thickness of the tile, how big the tile is, how deep it is, where it's located. If we need to take off a panel, take off a rack to get in heavy equipment and do the digging, we can do that. If it's possible, if it's shallow enough and we can just get at it without heavy equipment, we can do that as well. But that would be a sort of particular to that situation. You also understand that the city of Hebron recommended against the project as well because it falls outside of their plan, their expected plan of development. What we wanted to address there is simply that this is, we're not asking for a rezoning. It's a special use permit. It has a limited life. It has the opportunity to go back at the end to agricultural or go into residential or whatever, or retail. In case development does happen to reach that area, we believe that this is very consistent with additional use, other uses. There's no emissions. It's very quiet. There's really no impact on the neighbors. Now, there was some. I don't know that you folks have seen it. We are happy to pass more of these along. I didn't bring 10 copies of these. But they were provided in an original zoning packet. They are studies that address that real estate the impact of property values next to solar projects.
What's the name of the book? Who prepared it? What company?
There is three different companies. One is Cohen Resnick prepared this. It's very applicable to this area because it was done specifically for Illinois. using before and after studies of solar projects across the country. So this is a very complete study. It was done for another municipality. Oakwood Kirkland Appraisals did a study for a North Carolina solar project, and this was in an area that had agricultural and quite a bit of residential, and so up against subdivisions. And then the third one is a study that we commissioned in Minnesota with respect to other community solar projects that we had built, and the results of sales before and after the development of the solar park. So those are the three of them. We sent quite a few of these already, but I'd be happy to provide
all,
more.
All three were submitted with your application?
Yes. Yes. So that is what I'd be happy to address any other questions that the board may have.
I do have a question in regards to what you just said about the Hebron and their objection. There was discussion at the original hearing that you also had a proposal inside the village limits. Where is that property located?
So we have we've been actually talking to Hebron for several months. We approached them with this project and a project that is within the city limits, about a mile south of downtown.
On which road?
On Highway 47, on the east side.
Okay, so almost directly across the street from this one on 47 then, or just a little
It's across the street and further north.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember the dialogue where the city limits came right up to the edge of our property. They actually don't. They're a parcel north. So if you go a parcel north and across the street, it's further that way.
And is that approved or pending, or what's going on with that?
We're in discussions with the city. Our experience with the city has been these discussions take a long time. Their opinion is what was expressed in their letter, that they want to reserve this area for zoning residential or business. There are some folks that seem to be interested in the project, so we're continuing discussions.
And just as far as your proposal for permits with the state, is it inclusive of all three of these, or would you think that you're only going to get one or two of these sites? So I'm just curious as to how ComEd looks at it. Do they need 6 megawatts of power in that area of solar? I mean, are they going to look at it that they only want two, and they're going to pick one of these three?
So each of these projects will be submitted separately into the, we have a third project in McHenry County that is north of Harvard. All three of those projects will be submitted separately, as with all the other projects that I'm sure you guys
right,
have
but I'm just,
seen through.
There must be some limit as to how much electricity you could put into, you know, those lines that run along those rural farm areas. So, I mean, how much could they actually accept?
They're still studying that.
Okay, so they're going to, at some point, they're going to decide whether they could use the whole six or...
Yes, that is part of the interconnection study that's underway for both of these projects. And ComEd needs to analyze the capacity of that line and determine if those projects will fit or not.
And does it affect it at all? I mean, the substation is in Woodstock, and is it better if these are closer to the substation and to the high power lines? I mean, is that a better location? Is that, because this is pretty far from there. That's, I'm just trying to figure out what's the best for the grid.
So for the grid, the closer you are to the substation, the more power can be accepted onto the line. So as you move further away from the substation, depending on other load on that line, you can begin to introduce instabilities, but that's all part of the analysis that goes on with ComEd. We might get to a certain distance and determine that only 4 megawatts can go on, or only 6 megawatts, or whatever. But that's a very detailed technical study.
Okay. I'm just...
Can I ask you?
I'm sure.
So to kind of follow up on the chairman's question, so if ComEd finishes their study and says, yeah, this might be a viable location or whatnot, then they pose a question to you guys, right? Do you want to do upgrades to be able to feed onto their transmission lines, right? Isn't there another cost part that is coming here where ComEd tells you how much it's going to cost you?
You know the process. That's exactly right. They'll tell us whether this is, and at that point, we...
And you guys have to make a decision then as to whether or not is this financially feasible or should we go somewhere else?
Right. Exactly.
Eldridge, you have a question?
Yeah. Go back to the your two sightline drawings. Am I correct that the red line will be the nearest point, at least on the where we're looking at the sightline down 47, at which there'll be any landscaping in that area?
The red line is the landscaping.
The red line is the landscaping. So that is the, southeastern terminus of the landscaping. Mm-hmm. So that there'll be nothing except grass interrupting the site along 47 forward from there.
Yes.
Okay.
And then
just wanted to clarify that.
And then in that scenario, that actually we believe is further back than you would have corn.
Ms. Gardner, any questions?
Yes, we received a letter this morning from somebody that is against this project, but they brought up some points I had never heard before, and I wondered if you had, and if these are concerns, and this is what she writes. There can be long-term effects on the habitat areas for plants and animals. Wildlife, especially birds, have had their wings melted or burned off by the heat from the solar farm's mirrors.
So, yes, I can address that.
Thank you.
A really good example, if you want to go on Google Maps, go to southwest of Las Vegas. There are these three huge facilities that in the desert have mirrors that reflect the sun to a tower in the middle of that facility. It's hundreds of acres and thousands of mirrors. And the big tower at the top is filled with molten salt from the sun.
Molten
salt. It's hundreds and hundreds of degrees.
This is a whole different,
a whole
type
different
of
technology.
Solar energy. I'm taking
yes.
it. Yes.
So what happens is that when the sun comes up, the mirrors reflect back to that tower. They melt the salt, or they heat the salt. The salt is then stored underground so that it can be used to generate steam day or night.
Okay.
And there have been situations where that's true. If the birds fly into that, it's a problem, and they're trying to figure out how to do that. But it is a completely different technology than what we're talking about.
It does sound very, very different. So there's no harm
no
to birds flying along, and all of a sudden their wings have melted off.
No.
They fall to the ground.
But
Bugs are okay.
In fact, we're providing pollinator habitat along the
and
outside.
And burrowing animals will be
okay.
All right. Thank you for clearing that up.
Did anyone else in the board, Mr.? Yes.
I do have one question. You mentioned in your plan that the landscape planting is no more than 10 feet off of the right of way for the state of Illinois. Pardon?
No closer.
Right. So it means in some areas it will be farther.
In fact, the closest is up in the far right-hand corner along 47.
That
and
makes
then
sense.
You get further south into the east or west.
Now, normally, if this was township land or state-owned land along a highway like that, they're going to cut those roadside ditches several times a year normally.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to your swath of grass between where the state will cut and the bush line? It will be... You're going to cut inside the solar farm at some point and outside?
Well, we would have to maintain outside the solar farm. Inside the solar farm, we will maintain that as well. It will be designed to, if we have to cut it, we will.
The thought that went through my mind is the state will end up cutting their part, and you won't be back to cut the outside of your bushes. And then, like everything else, pretty soon you have mulberry trees growing there. You've got this giant mess.
No. Okay. We would maintain.
Anyone else on the board have any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. So
none of the solar farms that we have approved wanted to use concrete pads in the footings, or they're just using a concrete pad for the converters. Nothing else. If we put those same requirements on you, would that make this so that you can't do this? Would you still be able to do this?
So, from what we know of the land, there would be no reason to do concrete footings. You can't know that officially without doing ground studies, geotechnical studies that understand how sticky the dirt is and what sort of resistance it has to lateral and vertical forces. So we don't expect that. And we could potentially hit a situation where there might be a portion of the facility that is very sandy and doesn't meet that, and maybe there's something that goes there. But it turns out to be an expensive proposition to put concrete everywhere. You simply wouldn't want to do that. So our interests are aligned with you. But
because I'm very opposed. I won't vote for it if it's got concrete in it, because then you're impacting agriculture more so, and having to pull that out afterwards and everything. And I've never had another company say that it might be required. So that's why I'm thinking, well, what is the soil here, or what are you doing differently that makes you think you might need concrete?
Yeah, we're not doing. I've developed projects in all over Ontario and Australia, and as you move from one place to another, you can find really different ground conditions. So that's sort of standard land.
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
I'm sorry, I said I've been part of developing projects all over Ontario and Australia and Mexico and Northeastern United States, and you can hit wildly different ground conditions. This is very consistent ground conditions. So I would only ask if you put
I'm not understanding this issue. What I thought they all had concrete pads for the
converters.
Dave, they have a pad on top of the ground for the converter. They want to be able to put pads down where the poles go down for the tracking. So there might have to be concrete foundations way down in the ground that then they put those poles on.
Yeah. So I don't anticipate we'd have to do that. And so I would be willing to adhere to any restriction that you folks, as a county, apply to everybody.
We don't even have that in these conditions, do we?
There is a condition.
Yeah, we do.
That addresses that the installation has to be with the piers.
We allow concrete on the gate. Also.
Correct. Yes. So, generally, in regards to where concrete is going to be seen, regardless of what the conditions say or what the ordinance says, standard we're going to see concrete on the pad for the equipment, the inverter. And all the equipment that goes along with that. We're going to see concrete on the post on either side of the fence gate, just to support the weight of the gate itself as it moves in and out for access. Then there's also, in certain circumstances, where there'll be a concrete pier used on the fence for just the corner post, where you're going to have the fence changing direction, because as you're pulling the fence to make that turn, it's a much stronger pull on that particular pier. So it's quite common to have a concrete pier foundation for that particular fence post. With how the way that the petitioner has amended the fence for Exhibit 1B, it actually has a much longer stretch without as many corners, so I don't see them using too many pier foundations, and you're going to see it more so in the fence than we would in the tracking system.
I just had a question on the solar farms in general, in the ones you've been experienced with. What percentage of the time is this going to be generating, would it generate full production?
Full production?
Yes. In Illinois, if we're on this site.
So generally it begins to wake up around 8:30. So on a typical day, on a typical summer day, it would begin to wake up around 8 o'clock because there's a certain amount of sunlight that it has to get to reach the threshold. It will then ramp up, and so probably by 10, between 9 and 10, it's going to be at full power, and it will continue that through the day until five or six.
But what about in February? I'm just saying, February, what is the forecast from Illinois?
So,
what percentage of the time is it going to be generating power?
I will posed another way. There is a number called a capacity factor. So a capacity factor of a coal plant is 100% because they could run it all day long, all night. So a typical solar plant, a capacity factor will be about 17%.
Is that Illinois? I mean, the one outside Las Vegas has got to be higher than the one that would be here.
The one outside of Las Vegas because they store their heat.
I'm just talking about if you put this solar farm in the desert, what would it do as opposed to being in Illinois? What is the difference that it would be as far as the percentage goes?
It'll be higher. It'll be maybe 18-19 points somewhere in there if you're down in Texas.
And then your forecast for the Ontario and those places is 17?
It's less.
Okay. What is this site proposed to be?
Roughly, I believe 17. It depends whether you use trackers, which are the ones that move slowly over the course of the day, or whether you use fixed tilt. So there's different numbers.
But you're using tracker, right?
Our proposal for now is trackers.
Yes, so that's the percentage we're asking.
17. It's roughly 17% is what the IPA uses.
Okay. Anyone else from the board have any questions? Mr. Hampton, you have another one?
No.
Okay. Anyone from the public have any questions regards to the witness's testimony?
Yes. Can you make a statement?
You in a second. Did you have anything? You had a question? You have to identify yourself and give your address, please, for the court reporter.
Right. Nancy Sheet-Selt, speaking on behalf of the Environmental Defenders of McHenry County, 4419 Walk-Up Road. Just two questions real quickly. The dogwood species that you plan to use for your border are native dogwoods?
Yes.
I figured, thank you. And then is there any reason why you could not plant pollinator species throughout, as is recommended in the new amendments to the county's UDO, rather than just around the border? Because we are recommending that to all solar farms in the county, pollinator species throughout.
So the pollinator species on the border are designed to grow taller than we would typically grow underneath the panels. If the vegetation underneath the panels grows tall enough, it will shade the bottom of the panels and you have a very nonlinear effect. So we would be willing to consider pollinators that grew lower.
Good. And there's recommendations for Illinois for that very thing.
Okay.
So
we would
like to recommend
that
to
that.
You. Yes, we'll give you that information.
Thank you. Anyone else have any other questions? Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Just one last thing, because I realized as we were talking that I forgot to add that to the original bullets. Somebody had asked how many piles will be on the site, and it widely differs depending on the technology of the racking that you use. Make a big difference. But a very conservative estimate would be somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 piles, sticks in the ground to hold those panels.
Okay.
So that's it.
At this time, then, I'm going to ask if anyone from the public has any additional comments. If you did make a comment at the last hearing, that is already on the record, so please don't say things duplicated. If this is something new, if you want to make a statement to it for.
He's going to go first.
Okay.
Okay.
You need to identify yourself and please give your address for the
court. Tom Waller, Hebron, Illinois, O'Brien Road. This was part of a family farm before Mark and Michelle received it. And the thing that I'm 85 years old now. When I was 6 or 7 years old, Hebron was 600 people. Now there are 1,200 people. And I can't anticipate how there'd be that much growth in the next 75 or 80 years to come out that far. And if there's going to be any growth, it would come from the Woodstock moving north.
Anyone else have any comments? Yes.
My name is Michelle Gunderson. I live in Harvard on Crowley Road. I grew up on O'Brien Road on my parents' farm. I've resided in McHenry County most of my life, and we're currently raising our family in Harvard. My husband and I are owners of the Field and Discussion. I think everyone agrees that solar is a really good thing for McHenry County, for the state, for Illinois. It's environmentally clean, renewable energy, and it looks to the future to solve some of our energy needs. I think that everyone also agrees that responsible planning and development are good for the future. What seems to be in contention here is that this particular site interferes with specific plans that were laid out in the McHenry County 2030 Comprehensive Plan that was developed in 2010. We believe that the use of this land is not really out so far outside the goals of the 2030 Comprehensive Plan. According to that map, the lands just east and north of our property are proposed as office, research, or industrial land. A solar farm is not or should not be inconsistent with county goals for this area. As to the village of Hebron in the immediate future needing this land, the village's growth, as that stated, has been pretty stagnant compared to other parts of the county. When I was growing up in the 70s, it was around 800. It is now only, according to the last 2010 census, at 1216. That's only about a 50% growth in over 40 years. The one housing development south of Price Road and Route 173, which is the first road north of O'Brien Road, has yet to be built to its full capacity after many years of being open. By the time that the village of Hebron actually gets to our property, we could be easily looking at another 40 years. Even assuming huge growth rates of 100 to 200% growth rate in the next 40 years, it's difficult for me to imagine that the development of the village of Hebron would need our land. If this project's not built, in the meantime, additional tax dollars that this project could develop, could generate would be lost by local governing bodies. And that's also obviously additional income that our family would not realize during that time. We're not here to fight growth or development. We are here to speak for our right to develop this parcel now instead of years from now. That said, we hope you'll vote in favor of this project.
Okay. Anyone else have any additional comments? Didn't you speak though at the last hearing?
I was here.
Okay, but I thought, the group did.
We see a lot of fun, Nancy.
You've seen me so much.
You're here a lot, Nancy.
So may I say something?
Please, go ahead.
again, Nancy Sheets, South 4419 Walk-Up Road, speaking on behalf of the Environmental Defenders of McHenry County. And of course, you know, we are big time in support of this project. We are thrilled that folks want to do this. Solar energy is the way to lead to a more sustainable energy future for our county. So thank you for planning on this and considering doing this. I just wanted to reaffirm a couple things. If you folks have any further concerns about the bird issue,
Not anymore.
Well, I was going to refer you to Jim Herkert, who is the executive director of the Illinois Audubon Society. We have been in touch with him over this issue, of course, before we ever wrote our position paper. And I'm an Illinois Audubon Society member. And he would assure you, if you want to call him, that there is no concern about birds with this particular type, with these solar farms. And then the defenders are particularly thrilled about this particular farm because this property just to the, is this south? This is south, right?
Mm-hmm.
This property right over here.
And you're referring to Exhibit 1B.
Exhibit 1B. This property right over here is the old rest stop on Highway 47. Are you all familiar with that? We manage that area. The defenders manage that area for IDOT. And sadly, they messed up this year and they mowed part of it, but we're getting something out of that in the end. They apologized. But anyway, that's all pollinator habitat there. You folks, if you will go ahead and put in the pollinator species that we'll recommend to you, you'll be adding a large area of additional pollinator plantings on your solar farm. So when we burn this property over here with IDOT, all those good insects and little mammals and so forth can move over to your area until they can move back to our area and so forth. This is really going to be a nice, what I'll call a more mega site for pollinator species and bird species in that area. And there's not a lot of that type of habitat there in that area. So thank you, and we'll chat later.
Anyone else from the public have any additional comments?
Comment, I'll probably screw that all up.
Kim, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Quick clarification, not any additional comments in regards to the new information that was discussed today. However, quick follow-up in regards to our discussion about the foundations. We did have a condition in the conditions before. Matt and I were just flipping through the conditions trying to find it in the list now. It's not in that language, and I believe it's because in condition number 11, when we get to the discussion, it has the information about the agricultural impact mitigation agreement with the Illinois Department of Agriculture, and I'm pretty confident that they already have restrictions about that in that mitigation agreement. So since we're requiring them to do the mitigation agreement, we can then not have to add any additional requirements regarding those foundations because it's already going to be covered in the standard language that the state's using for those mitigation agreements.
Right, but the problem that I have with that is that it, obviously it might have the exception for what he described as there are certain places where the post won't be sturdy enough. I think that should be his problem. I think we should make it part of the conditions.
Can we do this? I agree with Kim. I think it is part
well,
of
we can discuss it at the when we get to the conditions if everyone wants to, but I want to close the testimony
portion. No other comments. I just wanted to clarify that before we
then I will close the testimony portion of the hearing and we'll move on to the voting portion of the meeting. And we do have proposed conditions on that this 20. The first one is that the conditional use shall have no time limit but may expire as outlined in section 5.4.H. expiration of approved conditional use permits of the Unified Development Ordinance and per conditions 16 and 18. Two is site development of the property in question shall be in substantial conformance with the site plan submitted on today, right?
Correct.
Because it's going to be...
And it would be up to you guys if it's going to be Exhibit 1, 1A or 1B with the site lines that you would prefer to see.
I would move that it was 1B.
Is there a second to the motion? A motion by Mr. Eldridge, seconded by Mr. Stone. All those in favor of making it
I
one?
I have a question before we vote. This is a site line. This is not the site plan. It's two different animals you're talking about.
Well, I think that 1B should be added to the site plan.
I think we should add this as an addition to the site plan that was reviewed previously. This just changes the boundaries of it, but that other site plan showed where the panels were going to be.
The panels are on this plan as well. They're just very, very, very faint. We can have the petitioner update it and email it to us so we can read those things better. It does have the underground and above ground indication for power lines. They have their point of connection. It's not all labeled like their other one, but all the stuff is mapped within the drawing.
I move that number two be submitted on today's date with the exception that the fence line shall be in accordance with Exhibit 1B. That is clear what we're doing.
I'll accept that clarification.
Pardon me?
I will accept that clarification to my...
Okay. Motion to amend by Mr. Stone, seconded by Mr. Eldridge. All those in favor then say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Third is that no structures excluding power lines for interconnection may exceed 15 feet in height. Power lines shall be placed underground to the maximum extent possible. Four, if there is any proposed lighting, it must comply with section 15.2, exterior lighting. Five, solar panels shall have a surface that minimizes glare and shall comply with section 15.4.D, lighting and glare. Six, all site development shall comply with the storm water management ordinance. Any damaged drainage tiles shall be repaired. Seven, in order to prevent erosion, manage runoff, and provide ecological benefit, the solar facility shall be planted with low-profile native prairie species using a mix appropriate for the region and soil conditions. Eight, there shall be a native landscape buffer located along the outside of the fence, along the southern and eastern lot lines, according to the site plan dated today as amended.
Correct.
Said landscaping shall be planted at a minimum of 4 feet tall. Nine, prior to construction, the operator shall prepare a landscape monitoring and maintenance plan to ensure the establishment and continued maintenance of the native prairie species and landscape buffer. 10, fencing shall be provided in compliance with the National Electrical Code as applicable. The use of barbed wire is prohibited. 11, prior to construction, the operator shall enter into a agricultural impact mitigation agreement with the Illinois Department of Agriculture as required by that department. 12, prior to construction, the operator shall prepare an emergency management plan acceptable to the county and the local fire district and shall be responsible for training of emergency personnel as needed. 13, a sign shall be posted and maintained, providing the name of the operator and a phone number to be used in case of an on-site emergency. 14, access shall be granted, provided appropriate advance notice for periodic inspection of the site by the county or the local fire district. 15, damaged solar panels shall be removed, repaired, or replaced within 60 days of the damage. The ground shall be remain free of debris from damaged solar panels at all times. 16, the solar farm shall be considered abandoned if the operator fails to pay rent as specified in the agricultural impact mitigation agreement, or it ceases to generate electricity for a period of 12 consecutive months. Reports of electrical power production shall be provided to the county upon request. An abandoned solar farm must be decommissioned and removed within 180 days from the time it is deemed abandoned. The operator may appeal in writing to the zoning enforcement officer for an extension of time in order to remove the solar farm or bring the solar farm back into operation. 17, prior to the construction, the operator shall prepare a decommissioning plan which shows the final site conditions after the solar farm has been removed from the property. Decommissioning plan shall require removal of all solar panels, electrical equipment, poles, piles, foundations, and conduits above and below ground. Access roads, fencing, ground cover, and landscaping may remain only if it can be shown to be consistent with the future use of the property. 18, prior to construction, the operator shall submit an engineer's estimate for the cost of decommissioning the solar farm and restoring the site in accordance with the approved decommissioning plan. Upon review and approval by the zoning enforcement officer of the estimate, the operator shall obtain a bond, letter of credit, or other form of surety acceptable to the county to be held by the Department of Planning and Development in the amount of 150% of the estimate so as to cover the cost of decommissioning as well as inflation cost in future years. The value of the surety shall not be reduced based on the salvage value of any materials or equipment. If the operator has a separate surety under the terms of and Emma, the sum total of all sureties are not required to exceed 150% of the estimate. 19, during the operation of the facility, a new engineer's estimate of the cost of decommissioning shall be submitted every 10 years to the Department of Planning and Development. Upon approval of the estimated cost of the zoning enforcement officer, a revised surety shall be provided to the Department of Planning and Development in the amount of 150% of the new estimate. The value of the surety shall not be reduced based on the salvage value of any materials and equipment. If the operator has a separate surety under the terms of an AMA, the sum total of all sureties are not required to exceed 150% of the estimate. 20, all other federal, state, and local laws shall be met. Any other proposed conditions?
I agree with Kim. I think the Ag Impact Mitigation Agreement speaks to concrete footings and whatnot, but I'd also like some insurance in case it doesn't.
I've been reading it.
Oh, any luck?
I just don't see it. Of course, I've been quickly trying to scan it. I was able to bring it up on my phone. Maybe, Kim, would you know where it is in this agreement?
If you already have it pulled up, I'm not going to try to pull it up on my phone as well.
It says construction. I think it's under the construction standards for support.
Okay.
But I didn't see anything there.
Have we ever had a condition that is only, we only put it in there in case it's not covered by something else?
So it's actually the very first one that when I was right about the correct section. It's in 1A. Support structures, only single pole support structures shall be used for the construction and operation of the facility on agricultural land. Other types of support structures such as lattice towers and eight or H-frames may be used on non-agricultural lands. So it's limiting it to a pole, but I'm not seeing anything specifically in regards to concrete or foundation.
Well,
because as I recall,
yeah, and you're talking about 3,000 of these suckers, so I mean this is significant.
Because we used to have a condition, or when we discussed this, it talked about the insulation they had to be hydraulically pile driven or something like
exactly.
that,
mm-hmm.
Which doesn't require concrete footings. Well, could do you guys have the old language by any chance somewhere?
I would move to add a condition that no concrete be used with the poles to support the solar panel structure, with the exception of maybe 5% that may require support for the instability of the property. I think you got to give them some.
You have a motion by Mr. Stone. Is there a second to the motion?
Second for discussion.
Exactly. That's exactly what a second's for.
I don't think we should allow anything.
Well, you can move to amend it. I'm just suggesting.
I'm just going to vote against it.
It would seem to me that they would. Their obligation is to check the land before they go ahead. So if it's more than 5% of them, they can clear the deal. They don't have to go ahead. But they got to check that in advance, correct?
We will do ground studies before you can construction. You're right.
5% of 3,000 is 150.
That's too many.
We'll make it 1% then.
Wait, there's a motion to for 5%. If somebody wants to talk about a different amount, that you have
said make a motion.
I'm the chairman, Dave.
That's part of discussion, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Schnabel, did you want to make a motion to amend?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to amend to 0%. Because we shouldn't be building these things in peat bogs or swamps. The land can't support it. It should be there.
I'll second the amount.
Okay, there's a motion to amend it to 0% and a second to 0%. Is there any?
That's basically saying no.
Right.
We're not going to approve the.
Right. Well, that's what it said in the beginning. The motion is that there's no concrete supporting the piles.
Okay.
So the motion says.
Okay.
Well, I have no problem with no concrete on the piles, but I think we have to allow concrete on the gateposts and the corner posts of the fence.
Yeah.
And they also have to be allowed a concrete slab under the inverters.
Right.
That's in their
I agree.
Their site plan.
It's already covered in the site plan.
Okay, so this is not covering those issues, is that correct?
No. I don't believe so.
My understanding of this is no concrete for the panels in this structure, holding the panels. For the fences, for the inverters, that you have to follow normal construction.
Okay.
It meets that.
All right, I just wasn't clear on that.
Well, that's my understanding.
Yeah, okay.
Someone correct me.
So, what the motion really is no concrete attached to the poles that hold up the frames.
Well, right now we have two motions. There's a motion to amend that we haven't voted on yet, so
right.
We first have to vote on the motion to amend it to zero first, and then if that motion passes, then we would vote on the motion overall.
But
so
technically, when we make motion, the chairman's supposed to state what the motion is before we vote.
Right. We have to get there.
So state the amendment.
Well, are we finished with discussion? All right, there's a motion. The first motion we have is a motion to amend Mr. Stone's motion to make it 0% of the piles would have concrete footings. No one had any further discussion on that. I'll call for the vote. Mr. Hansel?
Yes.
Mr. Eldridge?
Yes.
Mr. Stone?
Yes.
Mr. Schnabel?
Yes.
Ms. Gardner?
This is zero concrete. Is
this
it?
Is the most, yes.
Yes.
And Ms. Kustra?
Yes.
Okay, so the motion to amend would pass. Now we are at the motion overall, which would be a motion to restrict that there be no concrete used as the footings for the piles. At this time, any further discussion on that motion?
The piles were the solar panels.
Right.
I'm just asking for clarification.
Exactly. I'll call for the vote. Mr. Hansel?
Yes.
Mr. Eldridge?
Yes.
Mr. Stone?
Yes.
Mr. Schnabel?
Yes.
Ms. Gardner?
Yes.
And Ms. Kustra?
Yes.
Right, so that motion would pass. So that would actually be now 21 as far as conditions. Any other proposed conditions?
I move the conditions be approved as amended.
Okay, so a motion by Mr. Aldridge, seconded by Mr. Hansel. Any further discussion on the conditions? Then I will call for the vote. Mr. Hansel?
Yes.
Mr. Aldridge?
Yes.
Mr. Stone?
Yes.
Mr. Schnabel?
Yes.
Ms. Gardner?
Yes.
Ms. Kustra?
Yes.
And I will vote yes, so the conditions would be passed 7-0. At this time, I'll take a motion on the proposed conditional use subject to the 21 conditions.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Aldridge, seconded by Mr. Hansel. Discussion, Mr. Aldridge?
Yeah, this is a site at the intersection of O'Brien Road and Illinois 47, approximately a mile and a half, 2 miles south of downtown Hebron. It is a flat site that currently has a cornfield on it. I believe that with the change made to the sight line, the sight lines are entirely adequate for safety's purposes and substantially improved over the sight lines we have during the summer when corn is growing on the site today. I think it is county policy to promote energy that does not use fossil fuel. I think that this has the potential to very slightly reduce the costs of electrical energy going forward in the county and improve the reliability of that energy. I think that it is going to improve the land in McHenry County overall by with the plantings underneath the site for the next 40 years, which will improve the soil. I believe that all the standards for conditional use have been met, and I support the petition.
Thank you. Mr. Hansel?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Mr. Eldridge said. I also believe that this is a fantastic opportunity, as he said, to preserve farmland, but also increase money to the tax base. Farmland doesn't use hardly any resources, so it's a net positive in terms of contribution to the tax base. Just about any development you put on there is going to require some services or something like that. These solar farms will not, so it's a just additional revenue to the tax bodies, which hopefully will offset the tremendous burden on residential property in the county, on residential taxpayers in the county. I am totally in favor of this petition.
Thank you. Mr. Stone?
Yes, I agree with the prior comments. With regard to standard 5.4.E.2, the site shall be so situated that the proposed use is compatible with existing or planned future development in the area. The fact of the matter is, I agree with the petitioner in his statement that he provided to us today that this property already is zoned in such a way that it's, that a solar community solar farm is allowed by the actual table. I just don't believe that a future plan of the county or of the village can would trump that. And the real compatibility issue is the use. What use does a community solar panel bring to this property? And that use is simply so benign that it has no potential impact on its compatibility with other properties. There's no employees, there's no traffic, there's no, well, there may be some dispute about noise, but all of the testimony we've heard from this petitioner and other petitioners is that the inverters, while they make some sort of humming sound, those inverters are going to be in the middle of the array, and under those circumstances will not affect adjoining property owners. The fact of the matter is that except for the view, which I consider not to be an issue, because I don't think people surrounding this property or people driving the highways have some kind of unqualified right to what they view. And I don't believe that the solar arrays with a cyclone fence around them are that offensive. With regard to, and for the same reasons, I don't believe that it has any, under 5.4.E.3, has any effect on the public health, safety, morals, or comfort, and general welfare of the neighboring vicinity. 5.4.E says the conditions shall not be injurious to the use of the, and the enjoyment of the property in the immediate vicinity for the purposes already permitted. We've already covered that with the way that, with the use that's involved. With regard to property values, the petitioner has submitted studies with his application, studies which we've heard from other, in other cases, the exact same studies, in fact, and I don't believe that there is an issue there. So that covers 5.4.E.5. There's no issue with drainage at this point. There's been no evidence of any problem with drainage. In fact, there is some evidence from one of the members of either a joiner or an owner said there are no, not even any tiles on this property. There is provisions for ingress and egress. It will comply with the regulations and the zoning. And is it in the interest of the public welfare? Well, the state of Illinois has indicated that it's in the interest of the state of Illinois. We're always met with somebody saying, well, you know, there could be cadmium, there could be this, there could be that. You haven't done enough study. Our job isn't really to do a study of community solar farms. Our job is to decide whether this solar farm is okay in this location. We're not here to form some kind of scientific study. We're here to decide on the zoning. This increases the income, the real estate tax revenue to the county. It's favorable to farmers who want to lease their property and stabilize their income. As more and more solar farms develop, it will have the effect of protecting the solar grid. The more of these we have in the United States, the more protected we would be from the sabotage of our electrical system. And in addition, it's pretty obvious that green energy is the way of the future. I'm totally in favor of these type of uses, and I think it's an appropriate use in this location.
Thank you. Mr. Schnabel?
The amended site plan makes this much more workable in my mind with the sight lines that are being proposed. They're a minor change. I'm glad that that's been made. I think it's a very innocuous use of this piece of property because it's not surrounded, especially with residential and with children playing, and has no potential to become an attractive nuisance or worse. My only concern is if, and I'm just going to say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but it is a thought that went through my mind when it was mentioned that the Defenders likes to burn the property at the state park bench area. What's the danger of that spreading? And this is my only question, Your Honor. I'm just going to make it as a thought. Other than that, I see no reason why not to support this.
Thank you. Ms. Gardner?
Well, I'm very much in favor of this particular site. It just seems like a perfect site for this type of use. I'm grateful to the petitioners for listening to the concerns of the board and of the public and accommodating those concerns. And I am so grateful that we will not be melting birds' wings. And I am in favor.
Thank you, Ms. Kustra.
Yes, I have nothing to add. I support the comments of my fellow board members.
I agree. I think with the comments that have been made, Mr. Stone went through all the standards and covered them pretty thoroughly. I mean, I wish we could look at overall rating as far as all these sites together, just to get something from Con Ed so we knew exactly how many of them McHenry County actually could support. And I think that might be useful as far as ranking the sites then, or, you know, picking them out. But as far as this site goes, I think this would actually be a good site. We haven't seen any of the objections from any residential neighborhoods right across the street from it or directly next to it. And I agree that I don't think Hebron is going to go that far out onto 47 anytime in the near future. So I think this is actually a good location for it. I would also like to know if the one across the street, what the potential is to actually have 6 megawatts in this area, or if it's only going to be 2 or 4. But we don't really have access to that information, I guess, at this time with the way the state's working the program. But I'm in favor of the petition, so I'll call for the vote. Mr. Hansel?
Yes.
Mr. Eldridge?
Yes.
Mr. Stone?
Yes.
Mr. Schnabel?
Yes.
Mrs. Gardner?
Yes.
And Ms. Kustra?
Yes.
And I'll vote yes. This will go to the county board with a 7-0 vote recommending approval. At this time, the hearing's closed.